the first psalm, and we'll read from verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen, and may the Lord bless the reading of his word this evening. It was the Protestant reformer Martin Luther who referred to the book of Psalms as a little Bible. In other words, the Psalms summarize the entirety of the Word of God. And the book of Psalms that we have before us this evening is a book that contains the ancient songs of the Lord's people, or the prayers of the Lord's people from Old Testament times. In its Hebrew name, it simply means praises or book of praises. And it is a book of praises to the God of heaven. The Psalms were used in the public worship of God. 1 Chronicles 16 verse 7. It speaks of that as well as many other references. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. And then they sang what is part of Psalm 105. The Psalms were also used to instruct the people of God. As some of the Psalms, 13 I believe, use the title Maskil, which is derived from the Hebrew verb to instruct. And so one of the purposes of the Psalms in praising God and in speaking about our life and our trials and our burdens, part of their purpose, and some in particular, are to instruct us and to teach us. Men of God have said great things about the book of Psalms. Matthew Henry said, "We have now before us one of the choicest and most excellent parts of the Old Testament. Nay, so much is there of Christ and his gospel, as well as of God and his law." And again, he refers to it as a summary of Scripture. William Plumer, the American Presbyterian, said, "The Psalms are wonderful. They have been read, repeated, chanted, sung, studied, wept over, rejoiced in, expounded, loved and praised by God's people for thousands of years." Some of the older church fathers spoke and said that the Psalms were the epitome of all Scripture. One man referred to it as the common treasure, the compendium of good theology. And others have said, "What is there that cannot be learned in the Psalms?" And it is a great book. It is a book that is relevant to us today. A book that we should sing and use in our praise of God. And a book we certainly should read. And as we meet each Wednesday evening, it is my desire that we would move through the book of Psalms. We will not be looking in depth at every single psalm. So when we come to Psalm 1, we'll pick a little thought from that psalm. And then the week after, we'll move on. When we come, in God's will, probably in a couple of years, to Psalm 119, we may maybe do the 22 sections there, rather than maybe skip over the great majority of that psalm. We'll come to that when we come to that. But it is our intention just to give a little thought from each psalm. And of course, that is not the full account of each psalm, but just a little snippet, a little thought, a little scratching the surface to give us some encouragement in the place of prayer. And when we read the psalms, there are many verses that are familiar to us. We can think of Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I remember when I did many pastoral visits some time ago. I've yet to do a pastoral visit here, but when I did pastoral visits over the years, I would say that the majority of my readings perhaps came from the Psalms, because they are so applicable to us and to our trials and to our problems. And so I want us to consider just briefly the blessing of Psalms. The blessing of Psalms. And I have three little thoughts this evening I want to leave with you. And this is somewhat of an introduction to where we're going in the next, I was going to say the next few weeks, or the next few years, God willing. But the Psalms teach us, firstly, the Psalms teach us how to glorify God in prayer. They teach us how to glorify God in prayer. Because at their very heart, while they are songs of praise, they are also prayers. They praise God. And they uplift his person and work. And if you desire as a believer to lift up God, to lift up the Savior, to magnify him, to glorify him, to say great things about his name, and you want taught in that regard, where should you go? Well, the book of Psalms is one place that you can go to see how God is magnified by David and the other psalmists. In Psalm 96 verse 4, the psalmist said, "For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods." And as we approach the Lord in prayer, we should approach him and refer to him as who he is. We should be real about who our God is. We should understand the reality of our great King and our great Master, our great God who is above all gods, or the gods of man's imagination, of course. We can think of his greatness, his righteousness, his holiness, his goodness. And the Psalms are full of references to these things. Psalm 23 that we've mentioned already reminds us that he is the great provider for his people. Psalm 2 reminds us that the Lord is in control of this world. Psalm 20 verse 7, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." That psalm reminds us that we're to trust in God. He is the one who will help us. He is the one who is our strength, not our own devices. Psalm 19 magnifies the Lord in his creation and his word. And Psalm 119 does the same. And so in the Psalms, there is this high view. There is this exalting of the name of God. And that is exactly what we are to do as believers. We're to exalt the name of God. We're to praise him. We're to speak about him who is the rock of our salvation. We're to speak about him who is our shield and our buckler. And when we read the Psalms, and even Psalm 18 that I was referring to there with some of those terms, the Lord is our fortress, that's used in Psalm 18 as well. When we think of these terms, they reveal to us something of who God is to us. They encourage us. They strengthen us when we are in difficult times. We have one we can turn to, but they also magnify the name of our God. They magnify the name of our God. Someone's looking in. There we go. And so when we think of the Psalms, there's much we can learn about our God. And that helps us to pray. That focuses our mind on who God is. Because when we think of the world and the evil within the world, God is above that. When we think of the oppression that we suffer in this world, and when we think of the problems in this world, the Lord is above those things. And the Psalms remind us very clearly. And the Psalms also remind us of what our attitude ought to be toward our holy God. The psalmist praises him continually. Dear believer, may we learn from that. May we learn from that. Psalm 19, "How wonderful it is, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." A reminder that this world is created by God. This world is sustained by God. That as we look around this world, we see the hand of God in creation. And then when we come to pray, we have saturated our hearts, as it were, with the language of Scripture in the Psalms. And that helps us and enables us to glorify God in our praying. Secondly, I want you to see that the Psalms teach us about ourselves and the trials of life. The Psalms teach us about ourselves and in the trials of life. Who were the psalmists? At the basic level, they were men of God who lived lives in this evil and sinful world. They knew struggles. They knew trials. They knew the sins of men all around them, and they knew their own sin. We must never forget that. These men struggled with their own sin. And the Psalms teach us about ourselves. When we think of Psalm 51, Have mercy upon me, O God, the psalmist said, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. And David is reminding us that he had sinned. He had sinned greatly against God when this psalm was written. But there's a reminder of God's mercy, of our sin and God's mercy. And dear believer, we are to be reminded of that. The Psalms bring us into reality. We are sinners in the sight of God. And of course, many other scriptures do that as well. And they encourage us that we need to be washed and cleansed from our sin. We need to flee our sin. The Psalms deal with the downcast soul. Psalm 42 verse 5. The psalmist says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And the psalmist was downcast. But what is he doing? He's given the answer to that. My hope is in God. Hope thou in God, my soul. And I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And dear believer, we're reminded then again in the Psalms of being downcast. How many of us have never been downcast? How many of us have never been discouraged? You can put your hand up if you want. How many of us have never been in the depths of despair? I saw my hand go up there in the delay, but it wasn't actually going up. It was just moving as I'm talking. So I'm not putting my hand up. We've all faced that, have we not? Trials and despair and discouragement, sometimes for short periods. Maybe sometimes we face discouragement and a few minutes later we laugh because we see the futility of being discouraged in the situation and we think, you know, how silly that was of us. And then at other times it's deeper and it lasts longer and it lasts for days or months and we really feel pressured with all the problems. I have read much about that submersible, the Titan that imploded. And of course, the great force of water, it killed the crew in milliseconds, they say. But we can often feel a little like that as God's people because of all the pressures of life. All the pressures of life coming upon us. And the psalmist knew that. The pressures of life, making him downcast, making him oppressed by this world. The psalmist spoke in Psalm 129 about being afflicted from his youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. And so he's facing affliction. He's facing uncertainty. Psalm 77 reminds us of that. Will the Lord cast me off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Will he or won't he? There's uncertainty there. The psalmist speaks in Psalm 102 about loneliness. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. The psalmist is facing all these things and the pressures come upon him. A bit like that pressure of water upon that submarine. But one thing is for sure, as Psalm 129 says, they have not prevailed against me. Why? Because God is our shield and our fortress, as the Psalms remind us. He cannot be penetrated. He cannot be defeated. We will not, as it were, give in to the pressure around us because of the help of our God. And the psalmist reminds us of that continually in his book. And of course, these psalms are inspired by God. The Lord is telling us these things. He will be with us. He will be our help. Psalm 121 speaks about lifting our eyes to the hills. From whence cometh our help? Our help cometh from the Lord. Luther's psalm. Psalm 46. The Lord, God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. All these great reminders in the Psalms to the people of God. It's a book we need to take hold of. It's a book by God's grace we need to have within our hearts to encourage us. To encourage us. Scriptural memory work is very good. It's very good for the younger generation. And I dare say it's good for the older generation too. We might struggle at that. I'm not going to give you memory work, don't worry. But it's good to, as we read the Word of God, to look at verses and to memorize them. Maybe memorizing every single one is going to be a struggle for all of us. But there's some verses that can encourage us. Remember them. Remember them. I've spoke to many individuals. There was one lady I spoke to one time. She was facing surgery. The surgery was relatively minor, perhaps, compared to what some surgery can be. But she had never really faced surgery before. She was very concerned and worried, and as she would be put under the anesthetic, as she would be knocked out, she was very concerned about that. And she remembers sitting there waiting and verses coming back to her that she had read and learned over the years, and they encouraged her. And as the doctors put her under, she was thinking of the Word of God and verses from the Psalms that encouraged her heart. Dear believer, if we read the Word of God and remember the Word of God and store the Word of God in our hearts, what a blessing it is. What an encouragement to our souls. And then finally, I want you to see that the Psalms teach us about our Lord Jesus Christ and His ways. They teach us about the Lord Jesus Christ and His ways. On the road to Emmaus, the Lord Jesus expounded the Psalms to those two disciples. And in all the scriptures, He expounded the things concerning Himself. And then, in the upper room, later on, he did the same. And the Psalms, there are Messianic Psalms, Psalm 16, for example, Psalm 40, Psalm 23 reminds us of the Good Shepherd. And all these things point to the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many other Psalms we can think of. Psalm 16 refers to His resurrection. And we won't go into any great detail here, but Christ is found. We think of Psalm 22. His death is there in the book of Psalms. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's a quotation from the Psalms. Christ is found. And so, dear believer, we're to read the Psalms for encouragement, for comfort, for challenge, for conviction of sin. The Psalms speak about the Lord's ways. Psalm 119 reminds us of being in His Word, of loving His Word. And if we love His Word and read His Word, we're going to be found in His ways, following His ways. So we are to sing the Psalms. We are to read the Psalms. Many churches today have forsaken the singing of Psalms. Some churches only sing the Psalms. As a denomination, we are in the middle. The Psalms are a blessed part of our own worship of God. But we also sing those hymns that magnify the name of the Lord and speak of our Christian experiences. And that is an important part of New Testament Christian worship. And our denomination believes that and teaches that. But let us, as we delve into the Psalms, let us seek to open a little of each one each week. Let us seek the Lord for His blessing. There are many things that we can be reminded of, even if we look at the first two Psalms. We're reminded here of the delight of the law of the Lord, verse 2. We're reminded, verse 3, about fruitfulness, about this blessed man being close to the Word, being fruitful. If we move into Psalm 2, we're reminded the Lord is in control. Though evil men set themselves against the Lord, He's in control. What an encouragement that is for us. The psalmist in Psalm 3 is ready to give up. Those around him say there is no help for him in God, verse 2. But he reminds himself, verse 3, but Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. And immediately, moving into the first three Psalms, are there not encouraging thoughts for us? First to meditate upon, first to thrill our hearts, to settle our hearts, and to fix us and focus us as we come to seek the Lord in prayer. We're praying to the Lord who has given us His Word to make us fruitful. We're praying to the Lord who is in control. We're praying to the Lord who is our hope and is our shield. Let us be encouraged, and certainly over the next while, let us be encouraged as we consider a little of what the Psalms teach us. The Psalms are a blessing, and may they be a blessing to us for His name's sake. Amen. Amen.